very many usual and approved delights. He wasn't even certain what they were. Some sketches outside one pink-lit, inviting doorway left him even more mystified, but incredibly anxious to learn. He turned around and around in pleased astonishment. This place! Only 10 minutes walk or 15 minutes lurch from the university. And he'd never known it was there. All these people, all this noise, all this life. Several people of various shapes and species jostled him. One or two started to say something, shut their mouths quickly, and hurried off. They were thinking, his eyes, like gimlets. And then a voice from the shadows said,
"Hello, big boy. You want a nice time?"
"Oh, yes," said Windlepoons, lost in wonder. "Oh, yes, yes, yes."
He turned around.
"Bloody hell!"
There was the sound of someone hurrying away down an alley. Windle's face fell. Life, obviously, was only for the living. Perhaps this back-to-your-body business had been a mistake after all. He'd been a fool to think otherwise. He turned, and hardly bothering to keep his own heart beating, went back to the university. Windle trudged across the quad to the Great Hall. The Arch-Chancellor would know what to do.
"There he is. It's him. Get him."
Windle's train of thought ran over a cliff. He looked around at 5 red, worried, and above all, familiar faces.
"Oh, hello, Dean," he said unhappily. "And is that the senior wrangler? Oh, and the Arch-Chancellor. This is..."
"Grab his arm. Don't look at his eyes.
Grab his other arm.
This is for your own good, Windle."
"It's not Windle. It's a creature of the night."
"I assure you, I..."
"Have you got his legs?"
"Grab his leg! Grab his other leg!"
"Have you grabbed everything?"
roared the Arch-Chancellor. The wizards nodded. Mustrum Ridcully reached into the massive recesses of his robe.
"Right, fiend in human shape," he growled. "What do you think of this, then, eh?"
"Aha!"
Windle squinted at the small object that was thrust triumphantly under his nose.
"Well, he said diffidently, "I'd say yes. The smell is very distinctive, isn't it? Yes, yes, quite definitely. Allium sativum. The common domestic garlic, yes?"
The wizards stared at him. They stared at the little white clove. They stared at Windle again.
"I am right, aren't I?"
he said, and made an attempt at a smile. Said the Arch-Chancellor.
"Yes, yes, that's right."
Ridcully cast around for something to add.
"Well done," he said.
"Thank you for trying," said Windle. "I really appreciate it."
He stepped forward. The wizards might as well have tried to hold back a glacier.
"And now I'm going to have a lie down," he said. "It's been a long day."
He lurched into the building and creaked along the corridors until he reached his room. Someone else seemed to have moved some of their stuff into it, but Windle dealt with that by simply picking it all up in one sweep of his arms and throwing it out into the corridor. Then he lay down on the bed. Sleep. Well, he was tired. That was a start. But sleeping meant letting go of control, and he wasn't too certain that all the systems were fully functional yet. Anyway, when you got right down to it, did he have to sleep at all? After all, he was dead. That was supposed to be just like sleeping, only even more so. They said that dying was just like going to sleep, although, of course, if you weren't careful, bits of you could rot and drop off. What were you supposed to do when you slept, anyway? Dreaming. Wasn't that all to do with sorting out your memories or something? How did you go about it? He stared at the ceiling.
"I never thought being dead would be so much trouble," he said aloud.
After a while, a faint but insistent squeaking noise made him turn his head. Over the fireplace was an ornamental candlestick fixed to a bracket on the wall. It was such a familiar piece of furniture that Windle hadn't really seen it for 50 years. It was coming unscrewed. It spun around slowly, squeaking once a turn. After 6 turns, it fell off and clattered to the floor. Inexplicable phenomena were not in themselves unusual on the Discworld. It was just that they normally had more point, or at least were a bit more interesting. Rains of fish, for example, were so common in the little landlocked village of pine dressers that it had a flourishing smoking, canning and kipper filleting industry. And in the mountain regions of Sirrit, many sheep left out in the fields all night would be found in the morning to be facing the other way without the apparent intervention of any human agency. Nothing else seemed to be about to move.